Good morning. Thank you for reading that, Al. This morning we want to continue in Romans, and I was just chuckling to myself because without any preconceived intent, when I titled the message, How to Get to Philadelphia, I was not thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles later on today. Although now that it has entered into my mind, if you are a Chiefs fan, the door is that way. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Kidding. No, we want to look at what love is and what love is rightly applied amidst the body of believers, one unto another. And so to do that, we will be looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 10 to 13. And let me just read that for us. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. When you think about this call that we find here in verse 10 and then the many different aspects of that it goes on to speak of, how are we doing as a church? How is God's church doing in a universal sense, but specifically, how are we doing as a church when it comes to this command to love one another? And as we think about that, do we love one another as we are called to do so? Or have we justified or come up with another form of preconceived thought on what this is and what this should look like as an accomplishment in our lives? The church is to, in fact, flourish as a body, not as an individual, but flourish through the one another's of the Scripture. That's, in fact, why we have so many one another's in the New Testament. The body of believers, those redeemed by Jesus' blood, have a responsibility unto Him, but they have a responsibility unto each other. And God is, in fact, glorified in that. And I think sometimes we separate the two, that God is only glorified when we are in praise and honor directly to Him. But God is also honored and glorified when we rightly and respectfully honor that which He has created around us and as we honor one another. The church is to flourish through the one another's. The Spirit desires to genuinely move in our midst, the Spirit of God who indwells the heart of every believer, and to draw us into an intimate relationship as the body of Christ. I think that we can get good at appearances in this area. We can maybe, in fact, get good at the motions. But God calls us to a greater and a higher standard than I think often we accredit this command to. And so let us open with a word of prayer and then let us dive into the text here this morning. Dear Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for Your abundant goodness towards us. I thank You for Your forgiveness, Your love that was so vividly and graphically displayed upon the cross, as You provided reconciliation, and that reconciliation through a transformation that would take place in the heart of every believer who indeed calls upon Your name unto salvation. And Lord, that You would indwell us with Your Spirit, and that Your Spirit would produce fruit in our lives, and one of those fruits is that genuine love, that agape love. But Lord, You have called us a body. You have brought us together to function together, to love one another, not as distant parts of the body, but as that which is intimately connected and related and desires to love. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we look at this text that You would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that is moved in obedience unto You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul writes in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. There's three key little words there. Be, to, and in. Be, because this is a call. Paul is presenting this to the church, to the believers, as a call of action. This is what we are, in fact, to be. It's not something we are to just look at and gawk at or imagine about, but we are indeed called to this. And we are called specifically, where we find the word to a direction. And this direction is this attitude of brotherly love. Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. A deep devotion that encapsulates the hearts and the lives of every believer. One that is defined by love. We are to love everyone in the body of Christ. We are to be known by this love, the Bible tells us. And it is this love that Paul not only calls us to, but this love that is a cyclical engagement of the church. And I say that because Paul uses a Greek word in this opening statement, be devoted to one another. One another is the Greek word allelon. And allelon is kind of like that song that never ends. It just keeps going around and around and around and around and around. Allelon means one unto another, unto another, unto another, unto another. I could keep going here. This is what allelon means. And this is what Paul is calling us. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That we aren't just those that receive this love, but we are those that extend this love. And we don't just extend it in one area, but to all areas within the body of God's church. This is what Paul is calling us towards. And Paul continues his call to love here by using this specific word, Philadelphia, in the Greek for brotherly love. And if you look back at verse 9, he's already called us to agape love. And that love is to be without hypocrisy. We are to abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. But now we are to be devoted to a love amidst one another. And this Philadelphia, this brotherly love, is a love and affection that is between believers. It is a love and affection that is similar to sibling love. Now, maybe for some of you, I've lost you now because you're thinking, oh, my brother or sister, oh, they push my buttons. But let's be honest. Deep down, we love our family. We can fight with our family, but nobody else is allowed to fight with our family, right? Am I right? We love our family. There's a special connection here. And this brotherly love is this deep love and affection between believers that is similar to siblings. In fact, in Roman Greco culture, this love, this word that was commonly used to express this love, was only applied or limited to families. And it's only in the New Testament teaching that we see this love being extended to the family of God or within the church. Those that would be outside of your immediate family. And yet we are to have that same kind of love and connection with one another. There's to be that deep family bond. Sometimes I think this love, brotherly love, is mistaken as just friendship. It's not. It's much more than just friendship. It's the expectation of the Christian community to be bound one unto another as a family indeed is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9, Paul writes, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That the expression of love is seen perfectly in the Son of God, and that love is to be exhibited one unto another. Look at what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says. Let love of the brethren continue. Let it continue. Let it be manifested amongst you. Let it be an aspect of everyday life within the church. Let it not cease. Let it not be broken up because of disputes or different ideas. But let us work through those things and let us love one another and let it indeed continue. The 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. Since you are obedient in your life, and that is the goal of every believer, to be obedient unto the Lord. Our Lord and Savior in John chapter 14 said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you are walking obediently in the truth, desiring holiness in your life, a purified soul, then this sincerity of love of the brethren should be evident, and you should be fervent, you should be boiling, zeo, red hot in your love for one another. Why? Because you're not like the world, verse 23 says. You've been born again. Not of that which wears out or passes away, but that which is imperishable. Because God has brought about newness of life through his death and resurrection. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And look what it says. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. What John is expressing to us, and he does so in multiple places in 1 John, is that love of the brethren, love within the church, is an evidence of salvation in your heart. That you truly know the Lord. That you've been transformed. This is one of the attributes of a believer in Jesus Christ. And it is to this that Paul, back in Romans 12, says, be devoted to. Be devoted to this. And this devotion that Paul is talking about is a loving from a natural affection. That which is produced abundantly and naturally in you because of the love of God needs to flow over and outward in your life unto another. It is this deep desire for another's well-being. In fact, the word in the Greek here, philostorgos, which is devoted, is related in the Old Testament to God's covenant love. That's what Paul is comparing this to. Now, God's covenant love is perfect. It's unbreakable. It's faithful. We are to strive in that kind of love, one unto each other, as part of a body, as part of a family, that we as brothers and sisters unto the Lord have been brought into. We are covenanted to each other. We are to love each other with a covenant love, with a deep loyalty, a faithful love. Paul's call is to nurture this, to nurture a willful, natural affection to brotherly love, a faithful commitment to one another through an unbreakable bond of love. Well, the Bible defines these two different types of love, verse 9, agape love, and 10, philios, or Philadelphia. For agape love, a few weeks back, we looked at 1 Corinthians 13. It gives us a great list of what love is to look like. Here in Romans 12, we get a list of what Philadelphia love produces, or eight characteristics that the gospel produces of genuine brotherly love. Let me read the verse once again. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then it gives us this list. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Church, this is what brotherly love is. This is what Paul means when he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This is what covenant love looks like. This is what family love looks like. And so there's eight characteristics that Paul gives to us here, and we want to look at those individually this morning as we seek to understand this love that we are called to have for one another and what that indeed truly entails. The first thing he says here, give preference to one another in honor, or in other words, this brotherly love desires others to thrive. It doesn't just look at someone and say, I love you. It doesn't just look at someone and say, nice hair. It doesn't just stand up in front and say, every day is Valentine's Day in my house. I'm not talking about anybody. It desires genuinely others to thrive. It looks and sees others in its midst as being worthy of honor. Worthy of honor. It doesn't sit there and judge. It looks at it, brothers and sisters, and says, you are worthy of receiving honor because God has loved you and redeemed you and gifted you and placed you in this very body for his purpose. Therefore, I will honor you, and I will see the worth and the value that God has placed in you. I want to see you thrive. It gives preference to one another in honor. This giving preference is to lead the way. This is what the word means. To lead the way by setting the right example. And here the relation is in displaying honor to others. This heart of humility. That we are leading the way in this as we love one another. We are exemplifying this in our own actions. That you in fact are worthy and honorable. It is an act and concern to see others built up and encouraged in the church, not just yourself. It is to be genuine in the praise of others' talents and others' gifts. It is not just looking for opportunities for your own gift to thrive. It is recognizing the giftedness in somebody else and guess what? Telling them. And helping them apply that. And use that. And encouraging and exhorting them to do it. That they would thrive. That they would be honored as they use their gifts. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons why we struggle with recognizing our own spiritual gifts is because we don't help other people recognize their spiritual gifts. We don't look for others to thrive around us. We're not watching anybody else other than ourselves. We're not looking at how somebody is just gifted in a certain area, and we might not even be able to name the gift. We just know they're good at it. Do we desire others to thrive? Are we genuine in our praise of others' talents and gifts? Because Paul is saying the church is to lead in this. The church is to lead in this area. This is an aspect of brotherly love. Do we do this? The second thing he says here is not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit. Paul is saying that this brotherly affection desires to do the work. And it doesn't just desire to do the work, it desires to do the work enthusiastically. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. That energized, that exuberance. It is a willing exuberance that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out the work that God has for the church to do. It is a use me attitude. It is a how can I attitude. It is wanting to get involved. It is being at the front of the line when there's things to do in the church. It is sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for an opportunity. Why do we sit so deep in our pews? Why is it so hard? This is an aspect of brotherly love. Serving the body. Serving the body. Looking at the needs in the church. It doesn't mean you do everything. But are you aware of the needs in the church? Are you aware of the needs within the brothers and sisters in your midst? Are you willing to get up and put your name on a board, or are you waiting to see if the list fills up first? How many times do we walk past things? Oh, there's six slots on there. That means I just have to go around the church six more times and they'll all be filled up. Or do we desire to do the work? But Paul is saying that love of the brethren is displayed in action, and it is action combined with attitude. It is that fervency. It is a fervent action. It is not laziness or begrudging within the church. And let's be honest, it's easy for the household of God to come to church regularly but be lazy, because church is for me. And that's not just our church. That's I think, the church in general. How many people just show up every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and sit in a pew, and they're not eager to do anything except leave that pew at the end of the service? That's not brotherly love. That's always leaving the dishes for your mom. Not being lazy or begrudging, it is action combined with attitude. What are we doing? Look at verse 6 and 8 of Romans 12. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then it goes on to list those things. If you have gifts, use your gifts. How are we doing in this area? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through the faith and patience inherit the promise. God has called us to work. God made a perfect garden before sin came into the world. God placed man into that perfect garden to work. Work isn't a result of a fallen world. It is the result of God's perfect design. We're called to work. And this is an aspect of brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit. Third attribute that Paul gives us here, he says, serving the Lord. And this ties in with the last one. Brotherly love isn't first and foremost for our neighbor. It is first and foremost out of obedience to God. And you think, well, obviously. Well, if it was obvious, Paul wouldn't have had to put it in here. The gospel has saved us. In Romans 10, it says we are to believe that he was raised from the dead, and we are to confess that he is Lord, that he is master. And here, we are to serve the Lord as master. Brotherly love, in fact, then Paul is saying, is rightly motivated. Brotherly love is a recognition that it is God over man. And it is God then who commands me to love affectionately these ways out of service to him. Sometimes I look at this and I think to myself, at least I did this week, how would I do if the Lord sat me down and gave me an employee review? You know, that happens in many companies all the time. An evaluation. If the Lord came to church this morning and took us one by one into his office, what would that review look like? Are you looking forward to it? Or are you sitting here thinking, oh boy, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What's he going to say to me? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, it says, your will be done. Your will be done. Brotherly love seeks to do the Lord's will. Love for one another does not escape or overshadow our responsibility to the Lord. In fact, it is a product of the gospel. Brotherly love is subject to God's command. And brotherly love is God's command. Fourth thing Paul gives us here in this list of brotherly love, verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Brotherly love rejoices in hope. Brotherly love exhibits that joy spilled because of joy filled. We have joy in our hearts, therefore it exudes out of us. Paul uses a word here, rejoice. And rejoice means a resounding joy birthed from the presence of God and his promises towards us. Amen? That's a pretty good word. Kairo. Kairo in the Greek. A resounding joy that is birthed from the presence of God and his promises towards us. That's why we rejoice. Because God is real. And he indwells us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. His promises are true. He is a faithful covenant-keeping God. And Paul says this brotherly love rejoices in hope. It doesn't mope around. It rejoices in hope because of the presence of God. And hope, elpis in the Greek. This expectation and confidence because of an assurance based on the character and faithfulness of God. It is not by any stretch. Oh, I hope I'm enough when the Lord returns. Oh, I hope I've served enough to get to heaven. No, this rejoicing and hope is a God-given assurance of salvation. a resounding explosion. Because God is present and faithful in your life, and there is an expectation that He will do everything that He said He will do. And you believe it. And you know it. And you live that out in the church. This is an important attribute of brotherly love, because if this does not exist, brotherly love is downcast. It's moping around. It's doing things out of tradition or doing things to get. If we work hard enough as a body of believers, the Lord will be pleased and He will take our church into the great glory beyond. No! We work because we're full of a resounding joy. We love one another because of the promise and the assurance of eternity that God has instilled in our hearts. Because He's present. Paul's emphasis is joy that is seen because our hearts are anticipating the future blessed hope of the believer. This is a motivator and it is a commonality for those united in Christ. It propels us and it should draw us together because we share the same hope. The believer's love for one another is a vivid expression of this gospel gift. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." That's awesome. That's awesome. Fifth, Paul goes on to say, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation." Whoa. That's an interesting attribute of this brotherly love, persevering in tribulation. Brotherly love, Paul is saying, is victorious no matter the cost. Brotherly love does not give up on one another. Brotherly love, true brotherly love as an aspect and an outflowing of the work of Christ in our lives, does not walk away from the gospel and the gospel call. It perseveres. And what Paul means by this is it endures. It stands its ground. It holds the line. As the body of believers, we stand together. This persevering has the connotation of patience. It's not just a stubbornness, but it is a patience to hold fast amidst misery. That when everything is hard and everybody else in the room is running, we stand. We stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's reflective back to what we just said because of this great joy, this rejoicing and hope. That's why we can persevere in tribulation. But it holds fast because of that known hope. It is a result of that joyous hope. It's a recognition or a realization that the victory has already been given and that this is indeed the good news. Jesus said to His disciples in John 16:33, not to be dismayed because He had overcome the world. He told them that they would face tribulation and trials and struggles. But friends, all of those things are just birth pangs. The battle is won. What can man do to us? God is conqueror. And he has promised to bring us into a new life, a new kingdom. He has called us with purpose, not unknowingly, but omnisciently. And he has placed us where he has placed us. This brotherly love recognizes that tribulation is incomparable to the hope that we have. So we persevere as brothers and sisters in Christ out of love for God and each other. In Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I think I've shared this before, but there was many years when I was younger thinking, yes, a friend is a good thing, but a brother just fights me. That's not what it means. A brother is born for adversity, that a brother sticks with you in the midst of trouble. This is brotherly love. The church is to hold fast and together amidst this world. We are to spur one another on, as Hebrews 10 tells us. Because of the faithfulness of God, we are to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We are not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but we are to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. That's what this means. And when the book of Hebrews was being written, he was writing to those who were in tumultuous times, saying, persevere in tribulation. Love one another through your perseverance in tribulation. Sixth thing that Paul gives us here is a devotion to prayer. Brotherly love is devoted to prayer. Brotherly love is intertwined with prayer, with ceaseless prayer. Are we devoted to prayer? Are you devoted to prayer? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 puts it really clearly. It just simply says, pray without ceasing. Are our lives intertwined with prayers? I think often churches struggle and find themselves in difficult times, maybe even conflict that results in all sorts of unfortunate things because the church doesn't pray. You know, if we strive to exhibit brotherly love one unto another and we leave the Holy Spirit out of it, how successful do you think we're going to be? I don't know about you, but I got lots of problems. And I'm pretty sure you need the grace of God and the Spirit of God in your life to help me with my problems and not to be frustrated with my problems. We need each other. And we need the Spirit of God to work in our lives amidst each other, to continually produce the fruit that is necessary. Do we know where hope, help, our future is held? It's not with us. Do we call on the name of the Lord? Paul says here that we are to be devoted to this. And again, this word means to persist in this. It's not I'm devoted to once a week praying. No, it's to persist in it. To continue in it, to actively and enduringly engage in prayer. In fact, devoted literally means to be interactively and steadfastly strong. That's what the word literally means. That we are interacting and we are steadfastly strong in our prayer. And the implication of this is personally, absolutely, that we personally have intimacy with God, that we seek him daily, continually, with our choices, with our lives, trusting him, desiring him to move in our lives, not afraid of that. But it also implies with. We're talking about brotherly love here. With one another, for one another. This is an aspect of brotherly love, this togetherness of prayer. Do you ever come together with another brother and sister in Christ for prayer? And I'm not talking about a big church meeting. Do you ever get together with somebody else, and I don't mean either just to pray for dinner before you eat together. Do you ever get together with somebody to pray? Do you ever set time aside in your week to meet with someone with the purpose of prayer? I think I know the answer to that question. Not very often, if ever. Statistically speaking. And we are called to this. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9, that opening statement, "Our Father in heaven." If we would think about those four words, that should be motivation enough to pray. Our Father. He's our Father. Could you imagine growing up and never speaking with your father ever? Ever. Or only when you wanted money. He's our Father. And he's far greater than any earthly father. He's in heaven. He's above all. Brotherly love is devoted to prayer. It's part of seeing one another thrive. It's part of seeing honor promoted in each other's lives. Seventh on our list here says contributing to the needs of the saints. Brotherly love is invested in the church. It is committed. It is committed to the church. Again, are we invested in the church? Acts chapter 4. And I'm not saying we need to go back to the Acts church necessarily, but we should at least have some kind of commonality, I think, with the Acts church. Acts chapter 4. Verse 32, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales." They were invested in one another. They cared about one another's well-being. There was no needs, genuine needs. Not, "I need a new fancy sports car," or "I need your money." Genuine needs. The church looked after one another. It didn't wait for the government to kick in. It looked after one another. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, "And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." If Jesus is the head over all rule and authority, if he is the head over all things in your life, does he have access to all things in your life? Contributing to the needs of the church, invested in the church. How do we order our lives financially, our time, our presence, intellectually? the things we have learned and know? Do we know the needs of the church? Do we respond to the needs of the church? Are we participating in these things, the good and the bad? Are we opportunistic in these things? Are we looking for opportunities? We might not know all the needs, but are we looking for opportunities? Are we committed to each other? The church needs the church. We need the Lord, absolutely, but God has designed the church to need itself. We need each other. I need you. God wants to use you. Let's not just see church as what we get. Love serves and seeks. It gives and sacrifices for God's glory and the blessed well-being of the body. Paul uses here in Romans 12, contributing to, it's the Greek word koinonia. It's fellowship. Do we have fellowship? Do we have commonality with each other? Are we actively participating together because we're like-minded? This is a call to real biblical fellowship, contributing to the needs of the saints. Brotherly love is concerned with and cares for, is active in, is connected to, desires to support within and towards the body of Christ. That's brotherly love. And lastly, in verse 13, brotherly love practices hospitality. And this is an area where I think we're confused on. We think hospitality is always having somebody else in the church over to your house for lunch. Paul is saying this: brotherly love actively loves strangers. Paul's already said, right before, contributing to the needs of the saints. That may be having somebody over for lunch. But hospitality is spending time with somebody you do not know. Are we welcoming? Brotherly love is welcoming. Do you love new people? Or do you think there's too many new people here? Do you love new people? Hospitality is not family and friends. The church is to be a place that loves the traveler, the seeker, the unfamiliar. Yes, getting out of your comfort zone. And by the way, this is an important part of the gospel. This is the outward part of the gospel. This is the evangelistic part of the gospel. This is the part of the gospel that ministers without prejudice. I want to love you because God has called me to love you. I don't need to know you to love you, to care for you, to invest in you. Hebrews chapter 13. We read verse 1, let love of the brethren continue. But it says right after that, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners and those in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Don't forget the others, is what Paul is saying, what the author in Hebrews is saying. Don't forget others. Don't forget the body is greater than you know it to be. And God is bringing people here. God is working in people's lives. Do we love them? Do we care for them? There are other people within the body that are far away, that are suffering things. Do we care for them? Do we love them? Do we support them? The implication of this is brotherly love shares open-handedly. Brotherly love serves in Christ's likeness. Brotherly love recognizes its responsibility to minister as a link in the gospel chain. Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Consider this morning these 8 calls to the Christian life, to brotherly love. And may we find ourselves in Philadelphia as a church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this reminder, this call. And Lord, I just pray that this gives us a greater understanding of what you have called us towards as brothers and sisters in Christ. That we have a responsibility to each other out of our responsibility to you. May we love one another. May Grunthal Evangelical Bible Church be known as a church of brotherly love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.